turn now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, page 758 in your Schofield Bible. Starting with verse 7, we'll read responsibly through verse 10. The 10th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. For the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let's pray. Father, do thou tonight the work that you would be pleased to do, and help us to be compliant with thy will. Help us to be yielded to thy power. Bless, we pray, our preacher. Bless, we pray, the hearing and the doing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll read for you again, without your turning to it, the verse we read a while ago for our text. I read these words, who is among you that feareth the Lord? I want you to notice first, he fears. There's a fear here. That obeyeth the voice of his servant, and that walketh in darkness and hath no light. That little line, walketh in darkness and hath no light. I want to talk tonight on the subject, afraid of the dark. Afraid of the dark. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me tonight. Rather an unusual Sunday night sermon, not the normal type Sunday night sermon, but I think something that all of us need to hear. Bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear, and together as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in a little town called Minster, Ohio. I think that's the name of it. That's a little town just to the side of the line over there. I think it's Minster, Ohio. Maybe it's Munster, Indiana. I'm not sure which it was. But I was in a little town called Minster, Ohio, preaching just across the state line from Indiana. I had need the occasion to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is, I'm guessing, a couple hours' drive, I'm not sure, from Minster, Ohio. Well, I had a service that morning, on a Tuesday morning, and I needed to get back that night. And I borrowed a car because I needed to go to Fort Wayne. And so I drove to Fort Wayne, a little two-lane highway, actually not even a highway, a two-lane, probably used to call them farm-to-market road, sort of a country two-lane blacktop road. And I went to Fort Wayne, took care of my business there, and then I drove back to Minster. I preached that night. I got about halfway between Fort Wayne and Minster, and the darkest cloud you ever saw in your life was coming right toward me. And with my great faith in God, I was scared to death. And it was coming right, I mean, it was an awful-looking cloud. Now, before I knew it, I was right in the middle. I said the middle, I don't know the middle or not, I was in it. And it was, then I turned the radio on and noticed that we were alerted for tornadoes. And then all of a sudden, I saw something I'd never seen before in my life. I saw a tornado. I mean, I saw the funnel cloud and everything. I was driving toward Minster from Fort Wayne. On my right, there was a mobile home out in a rural area. That twister came close enough to me. I was in the car from Oklahoma, as close to me as that section is over there. And that twister lifted that mobile home and turned it totally upside down. And it landed on top and literally destroyed that mobile home. Now, I had a decision to make. The tornado or the wind was coming toward me. Now, I reasoned, what shall I do? If I stop, I'll be right in it, because it's coming. If I retreat, it's going to follow me. I'm teaching this verse, a text I read a while ago, is what it means. If I stop, and there was no place to stop. The only place I could have stopped was that mobile home, and I didn't feel led to go into that. And there was no house near. There was nothing, no place at all. So I had one of three choices. I could stop, and I reasoned, if I do this, I'll be right in the middle of it. And I can retreat, turn the car, and go the other way. If I do that, it's going to follow me, and I'll be in it longer that way. Or there's a third choice, and the third choice is keep on going straight into the storm. Are you listening? Keep on going straight into the storm. Now, I'm not very smart, but I thought that's the best thing to do. So there was the tornadic winds right out here. If I go back, they'll follow me. If I stop, I'll be in it for the entire duration. But the best thing to do, I thought, was to go into the storm. And I kept on going in the storm, in the tornado. I'm sure less than 50 feet from me, I saw that funnel cloud. It's a frightening thing. So I kept on going, and I kept on going, and I kept on going. And finally, I saw one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my life. I saw daylight, sunlight. I saw it. And suddenly, it got brighter, and it got brighter, and it got brighter. Now, the secret to my getting through that in a hurry was going into the storm. I was in Kokomo, Indiana, preaching this past December, I think it was. And I drove back during the night. Well, after the service, I drove back. I had to go Kankakee, these little hearing aids that I have. These little hearing aids I have that makes me my pockets hear so well. The doctor where I got them is his main office is in Kankakee. That's one over in Steger too. But my hearing aids weren't working very well, and so I was going to go back over to Kankakee. It was late at night. And as I turned off the little highway that leads to Kokomo, I came to the I-65, and it hit a snowstorm. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. Well, there was a little small two-lane highway that led from I-65 over to Kankakee, except I got on the wrong road. And the snowstorm got worse, and it got worse. I'm talking about 11 o'clock at night. I'm talking about I couldn't see as far from here, that microphone there. And, you know, every city limit sign was covered with snow. Every little town, I hardly ever came to a town. But I never saw anything like it in my life. And I'll be quite frank with you, I got scared. It was late at night, it's getting close to midnight. In fact, for 2 hours, I stayed in that snowstorm. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where I was. I don't know what highway. I couldn't even see the highway sign. I say, highway, nothing. Road sign. I couldn't even see that. All covered with snow. And I wouldn't dare stop. I couldn't go over. Are you crying yet? I don't think you understand the burdens that I faced. But I kept going. And I got thinking, should I pull up at a farmhouse? What should I do? And I got thinking, the best thing for me to do is just keep on going. And I wasn't going over 5 to 10 miles an hour, but I kept on going 2 solid hours. Didn't know where I was. I didn't know if I was driving around in circles. I'd come to the road would end. I didn't know whether to go right or left. I didn't know whether I was going to to Louisville or St. Louis or where. Had no idea, but it kept on going in the storm. Finally, I saw the most beautiful sight I ever saw in my life. Have you ever seen Kankakee when you're scared you're going to die? And Kankakee, I saw a sign that said Kankakee, Illinois. That's the prettiest sign I ever saw in my life. And then the lights came. Now the secret was I kept on going into the storm. That's what this scripture means here. When the Lord says, he says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now, I'm not talking about walking in darkness with a flashlight, or walking in darkness with a lantern or a lamp. Walk in darkness and have no light. Go straight into the storm. Stop, and you're in it. Retreat, and it follows you. Now, listen carefully to me. Every person in this room is going to come sooner or later to a tunnel in your life. And that tunnel will have no light. And you're going to have to decide whether to stop or keep on going. Now, if you keep on going, eventually you're going to see a little light at the end of the tunnel, but you stop and you're not going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The secret is when the storm comes, you keep on going. Go right into the storm. The tunnel may be long, but it will come to an end if you go through it. Walk on and keep on going if you're hurt. And keep on going if you're weak. And keep on going if you doubt. And keep on going if you fear. And keep on going if you hurt and pain. Stay on course. But ladies and gentlemen, when you come to the darkness of life, don't quit anything. What you want to do, I think I better just quit my Sunday school class. No, don't quit a thing. Keep on going. Keep on going. Stay in college. Don't go home. Don't turn back. Keep on going. When the storm comes, keep on going. And go into the storm. If you go into the storm's coming this way, and you're going this way, you're going to see light a lot sooner if you just keep on going into the storm. When the grave appears a relief, walk on. When life's hopes have shriveled, walk on. When life has lost its meaning, walk on. When the sky above is a dead expanse, walk on. When God seems to have disappeared, walk on. When friends and counselors cast frowns your way, walk on. When your soul gropes in tempestuous darkness, walk on. When it's too dark to see your faith, walk on. When you cannot see life's venerable landmarks, walk on. When forsaken by your own spirit, walk on. When you don't know what to do, walk on. When your mind offers no answers, walk on. When your heart offers no hope, walk on. When your hope has lost hope, walk on. When atheism seems tempting, walk on. When despair is your only suitor, walk on. Walk on. And let me say it again, the tunnel's going to come. If it's not come yet, it's going to come. If the dark days have not come, they're going to come. If the darkness when you have no light, the day when you enter darkness with no light, it hasn't come yet, it's going to come. Now you listen, it's going to come. When the clouds gather, walk on. When the storm rages, walk on. When defeat seems inevitable, walk on. When failure lurks its ugly head, walk on. When hopelessness tempts despair, walk on. When doubt replaces hope, walk on. When winds of adversity blow, walk on. When pain is your only option, walk on. When the battle seems hopeless, walk on. When the hospital becomes your homestead, walk on. When the funeral is over, walk on. When bereavement is relentless, walk on. When attack is sudden and you are unprepared, walk on. When disappointment replaces appointment, walk on. When loneliness is your only companion, walk on. When heartbreak seems irreparable, walk on. When heartache follows heartbreak, walk on. When chastening is necessary, walk on. When falling reaches the bottom,
walk on. When abandonment is your inheritance, walk on. When darkness comes at noontime, walk on. When fog becomes blindness, walk on. When reversals become habit forming, walk on. When surgery hurls its scaffold your way, walk on. When poverty overtakes you, walk on. When unwanted divorce comes into your life, walk on. When fear and you are betrothed to each other, walk on. When a heavy heart cannot be lifted, walk on. When despondency replaces dependency, walk on. I'm not talking about what I have read tonight. I'm not talking what I've heard tonight. I'm talking about what I've done tonight. When the clouds come, keep on walking. Hey, Wednesday night at 7:30, a man that's approaching 90 will sit right here where Brother Colston is. That man will stand up and preach. Been preaching for many long years. Pastor the same church over 40 years. You know the difference in that man and a lot of preachers that can probably preach as well as he can or maybe better? You know the difference? When they got in the darkness and had no light, they stopped. Or they turned back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. Whatever happens in your life, you just keep on going. Don't you turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn back. Bible didn't say that they stand in darkness. It says they walk in darkness when there is no light. When you can't see your hand before you, you just keep on going. You don't know what you're going to do. Just keep on going. I mean, if the darkness comes, keep on going. The light flickers, keep on going. The darkness has replaced his light. You keep on going. I say, the great men of history. Who are the great men of history? You'll hear one this coming Wednesday night. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. J. Frank Norris. George W. Truett. John Bunyan. All of these great men, now hear me carefully, all of these great men faced times in their lives where there was no light and they were in darkness. And they kept on walking when others faced the same thing, they stopped or turned back. Now, I want to say, that is what made them great. Good sermons don't make great preachers. Walking in darkness makes great preachers. Not turning back makes great preachers. I mentioned Spurgeon a while ago. Spurgeon became very ill. He died in his late 50s. He had to go down and spend seasons in Mentone, France because of his health. His wife was an invalid, but he walked on. Dr. Lee Robertson was preaching one night and called his wife, and she said, "Our little baby Joy just died. He walked in darkness and there was no light, but he walked on." John Bunyan had a little girl that was blind, and John Bunyan, but he walked on, gave us Pilgrim's Progress. Dr. George W. Truett in First Baptist Church of Dallas was out hunting one time and accidentally pulled a trigger going through a barbed wire fence and shot his best friend and killed him, but he walked on. I want to say tonight, listen, you preacher boys, you say, "Oh, I'm going to be a great preacher." You may be a great man, but you won't be a great preacher until you've walked in darkness and kept on going. And by the way, if you can't make it through college, you won't make it when you get in the tunnel. I'll guarantee you for sure. Well, me, I've faced many a storm in my life. And sometimes I've faced a storm where I could not see. I was walking in darkness, and there was no light. In May of 1989, I was to speak in Stockton, California on a Monday night. My heart was crushed. I was in my motel room. I did not want to go to the service that night, and I certainly did not want to walk inside that building. I picked up the phone in my motel room, and I called the pastor, and before he answered, I hung up. I was just going to tell him, I'm not coming. I picked it up the second time to call the pastor in Stockton, California, and before he answered, I hung up. I picked it up the third time to call the pastor and tell him I couldn't come. Before he answered, I hung up. I walked out that door that night and didn't want to see the people. I didn't want to preach. I wanted to stay in my room. The darkness was so thick, and there was no light. Now you listen to me. If I were like some of you people, you get 65 years old and you stop because you're getting old. Or you have some little battle and you say, well, I'll just stop. I'll quit my Sunday school class. You listen to me. God said, when you walk in darkness, and He said, when you're in darkness and there is no light, walk on. Walk on. Walk into the storm. Walk on. July of 1984, I was in a little town called Nederland, Texas. About 5 minutes before I left, the phone rang. And one of the saddest moments of my life took place. I picked up the phone to call the church, and the line was busy. I was going to tell them, I can't come tonight. The darkness was so thick, and there was no light. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, the only reason I'm standing behind the pulpit of the largest church in America tonight is because, bless God, when the darkness came and I couldn't see that far, I kept on going. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. If it's dark and the tunnel is dark, keep on walking, keep on going. Don't quit anything. Now the truth is, people say to me, boy, I wish I had the courage you have. I haven't got 1 ounce of courage in my body. I'm like the Chinese kamikaze pilot. I asked him what his name was. He said, Chow Main. He said, I'm a kamikaze pilot. I said, kamikaze pilot is supposed to die in battle. Why are you still alive? He said, I'm chicken Chow Main. I am too. Thank you for your laughter on that. I'm not courageous. I'm fearful. I'm scared. I have a yellow streak down my back. I'm chicken. I don't like to fight. I don't want to fight. I'm afraid of a fight. I want to run from a fight. I'm chicken livered. I don't like to see blood. Mine, that is. I'd rather switch than fight. But I decided years ago to keep on walking. If there's a cloud coming, the answer is keep on walking. If there's a battle coming, the answer, keep on walking. If it's dark, you can't have any light, keep on walking. God said, walk into the storm. And you will walk through the storm if you walk into the storm, and you will see the light at the end of the tunnel later on. I've been afraid to walk in this room before. I've stood at that door wishing I could go back to my office. I have sat in my office and asked God to give me strength to leave the office and walk down the alley and walk into this platform. I've been afraid to stand and preach. There have been days when I didn't even want to get out of bed. In fact, every day. There have been times when I was afraid to leave home because I knew I had to face the television camera. There have been times I've been afraid to leave home because I knew I had to face the press. And you know what I'm talking about. You've been through this thing, many of you with me. You know what I'm talking about. You say for the house, why are you still after 38 and a half years, getting closer to 39 years, pastor of the church? Because I kept on walking in darkness. That's right. Kept on walking in darkness. And I say, it's going to come. But your tunnel is going to come. The day is going to come when you can't see your hand before you. And the clouds are coming. And it'll be midnight at noontime. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never amount to anything unless you keep on walking. Walk in darkness. Didn't say stand in darkness. It said walk in darkness toward the storm. I was asked by publication to give my favorite joke. They wanted to publish the favorite jokes of well-known people. By the way, this was a secular organ, not a bad publication, but a secular publication. Then I was asked about a year later to give my favorite sermon illustration. Not the best one, but the one they said that is the most effective illustration. You've heard it a dozen times. This is what it was. Not my most humorous story, Not the most startling illustration, but the one I think that has done more good for people than any illustration I've ever used. I was in a distant state. The pastor, who was a well-known pastor, if I called his name, you'd know it. 90% of you would know it if I called his name. He said, "Dr. Howells, could I see you, please?" I went to his office. He sat down, put his head on the desk, and began to weep uncontrollably. He said, "Brother Hiles, my oldest daughter is not married and she's pregnant. I'm pastor of a large and well-known church, and my people know my oldest daughter is pregnant." He said, "What in the world can I do Sunday morning when preaching time comes?" I looked at him and I said, "Here's what you can do. First thing you do is you get up. Second thing you do is you shave, dress. Third thing you do is you go downstairs, and if you can, you eat some breakfast. Fourth thing you do is you get out, you get in your car. Fifth thing you do is you drive to church. Sixth thing you do is you go and sit on the platform. The seventh thing you do when it's time to preach, preach, preach." Several years passed. I was preaching for that same man, very well-known preacher. He said, he called me in his office again. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I have another daughter who's pregnant, get this now, and not married." And I said, "My soul, two daughters, both of them have gotten pregnant before marriage." I said, "Man alive, what are you going to do?" And through tears he said, "The first thing I'm going to do Sunday morning is get up. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to shave and dress. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to try to eat some breakfast. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go out and get in the car. The next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to drive to church. And the next thing I'm going to do is walk out on the platform. And the next thing I'm going to do is preach." That's my favorite, most effective illustration I think I have. And that's what you do. How can I face tomorrow? First thing you do is get up. Second thing you do is you dress and get ready. Get your bite to eat and walk out the door and get in your car and drive where you're supposed to go and do what you're supposed to do and be what you're supposed to be and keep on going into the storm, and one day, bless God, the sun will shine again. That's my message to you tonight. Get up, get dressed, go to work, do what you've always done. And that's why I stand before you tonight. There are a lot of preachers in America could out-preach me, but they haven't been able to out-dark me. A lot of preachers in America have more talent than I. A lot of preachers are better leaders than I am, better administrators than I am, but they're not as good darkness walkers as I am. Now you listen, look at me, you listen to me. I'm not preaching hearsay, I'm preaching by experience. And you are going to face the tunnel. Now you decide right now, and when the darkness comes, and there is no light, you're going to walk. Not stop, not quit, but walk. A man came to my office, taught a Sunday school class in our church. He said, "I resign." I said, "Why?" He said, "I got four kids, they're all adults, not a one of them turned out right." I shouldn't teach a Sunday school class if I had four kids, not a one of them turned out right. And I said, "Well, you have more reason to teach it than anybody else." He said, "Why?" I said, "If you fail, you got some making up to do." He kept his class. And what he couldn't do for his four, he did for others.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been here a long time. I've been around a long time. I want to tell you, some of you young people tonight, life is so simple to you. But it's just a matter of a few miles down the road where the tunnel's going to come. And the storm is going to hit. The secret, keep on walking. That's what made Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It wasn't the fact he could make a good speech, though he could. Others can make speeches just as well. That's what made John Bunyan. Others could preach as well as he did. But he kept on going and kept on writing, and the devil couldn't stop him, and prison couldn't stop him, and the Baptist convention couldn't stop him, and the Baptist convention couldn't stop Spurgeon, and it couldn't stop John Rice, and it couldn't stop Lee Robertson, and it couldn't stop Lester Rollout, and it couldn't stop J. Frank Norris, and bless God, it won't stop you if you'll keep on going. Just keep on going and walk through darkness. When there is no light. Our Heavenly Father,